alone, in their fullness, then our very emotions can become our Lord. We become a slave to our desires. As Allah says in the Quran, أَرَأَيْتَ مَنِ اتَّخَذَ إِلَاءَهُ هَوَاهُ. Have you seen the one? This is in Surah Furqan, verse 43. Have you seen the one who has made or has taken as his Lord his desires? Whatever his desires tells him, he does. It becomes a god for him. And whatever becomes the most important in our lives, the most important factor, if it is, you know, buying a Jaguar, you know, this is what all our efforts and our time and everything is to get that Jaguar. We want to get a Jaguar, you know. Or want to get, you know, one of these castles that some people live in here, you know. We want to get one of these type of homes. This is all of our time and our efforts are towards that. Then this becomes the god for us. This is why Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam had also said, the worshipper of the dirham will always be miserable. This is in Sahih Bukhari. The worshipper of the dirham, you know, it's like the pound, you know, is equivalent, right? The one who worships the pound, he will always be miserable. Worshipper of the pound, meaning that his all of his time, his efforts, his thoughts are all concentrated in how I can make another pound. You know, I want to increase my pounds. I need more pounds, so I can buy this, I can buy that. His whole, you know, when you talk to such a person, that is the essence of his conversation. This business deal, that business deal, how much I can get here and there. You know, he judges people according to how much they can benefit him. This is the whole thrust of his thoughts, his emotions. Everything for him is the pound. So it becomes a god for him. And the Prophet ﷺ has stated that he will always be miserable. When he gathers a lot, he's always worrying to gather as much, you know, a certain amount or a certain quantity. When he reaches that quantity, he starts to fear losing it. People who are his friends, he starts to look at them suspiciously. You know, anybody who smiles at him, he feels wants to get something from him. So, you know, his life is always in a state of constant misery and depression and worry, and this is his state. He's miserable. Now, Tawheed al-Ibadah, or maintaining the unity of worship of Allah, may be destroyed by worshipping other than Allah, the obvious, that which we spoke about in the case of praying to saints or praying to others along with Allah or besides Allah. These are most obvious to us. But at the same time, there is another aspect, what is called minor shirk, which is less obvious. And minor shirk is what the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has said was most feared for his ummah. The thing which he feared the most for them, which would cause them to deviate, was this minor shirk. And he referred to it as riya. And one of his companions, Ibn Abbas, described it as being like a black ant crawling on a black stone in the middle of a moonless night. It sneaks up on you like that, without you knowing it. Because all it involves is just a change of intent. When he was asked about it, he explained that it is when a worshipper stands up to pray and people are around him and he starts to pray longer or whatever to impress people. Will you do acts of worship to impress other people? You destroy the value of that worship. You are in fact entering into a state of disbelief. Surah Al-Ma'un, Allah begins by saying, أَرَأَيْتَ الَّذِي يُكَذِّبُ بِالدِّينِ. Have you seen the one who denies the judgment, the day of judgment? And amongst those who are included in that category is the one who prays, he says, الَّذِينَ هُمْ يُرَاؤُونَ. those who pray to be seen. These are amongst those who deny the day of judgment. They're praying so that others will be impressed by them, will say, oh, what a pious person this is. And it's something which can sneak upon any of us. We're in prayer and we sense that somebody who we respect comes into the room. You know, normally we'd finish the prayer in a minute. Here we are now taking 5 minutes, you know, 10 minutes. Dangerous. Very dangerous. So we have to be very careful that the intent does not change in the course of our practice, which would lead to the destruction of our deeds. So we're saying basically that the conditions for the acceptance of worship in Islam, for it to be considered truly Tawheed, an expression of Tawheed, is that one, it must be in accordance with the Sunnah. It must be following the way of the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. It is not something which we have speculated on, we have designed ourselves or whatever. It is something which has been conveyed to us directly by the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. The second condition is that there must be ikhlas. There must be sincerity of intent. That we are doing that act of worship purely for the pleasure of Allah. With those two conditions, then whatever act of worship we do, it becomes an expression of Tawheed, which is acceptable to Allah and for which we will be rewarded. In closing, I'd like to also point out that the maintenance of the worship or the unity of Allah in our worship is the first pillar of our faith. When we talk about the six pillars of Iman, the first one is belief in Allah. You know, that is, belief in Allah refers to worshipping Allah. It is the essence of the Shahada, La ilaha illallah. This is what we're saying here. There is no God worthy of worship but Allah. It is the essence of the good Muslim character, of righteousness. All of that is embodied in Tawheed al-Ibadah. How we treat people. We see so much where the Prophet ﷺ has talked of those as not truly believing in Allah, not truly worshipping Allah, if they treat their neighbors badly, if they harm Muslims. Even, for example, an issue like racism, you know, where brothers or some brothers may feel that other brothers are inferior to them because of their racial background. And this is something which we should not be afraid to confront, because we are developing, growing up, evolving out of a society which was built on racism, which promotes racism, nationalism. So these things might be inside of ourselves without even realizing it. But they in fact are contrary to Tawheed al-Ibadah. Because Allah has already defined for us who are superior, those who fear Allah the most. إِنَّ أَكْرَمَكُمْ إِنَّ اللَّهِ أَتْقَاكُمْ. So once we deviate from that principle, then we are displeasing Allah. When we start to judge people because of their cultural background or their racial background, then we are displeasing Allah. We're doing acts which are not acts of worship. They are anti-worship. They're displeasing to Allah. And we become true worshippers of Allah when we treat people as they should be treated. As creations of Allah, believers, our brothers, our sisters, first before all else. So Tawheed al-Ibadah was the essence of the message of the prophets, and it is comprehensive. It touches all aspects of our lives. So we should not look at it as a concept theoretical concept that we understand, that we grasp, but we have to translate it into action in our lives. Because there are many forms of shirk that can appear in our actions when we displease Allah in what we do. When we please Allah, we are worshipping Him. When we displease Him, we have ended up worshipping Satan. Because it's either worshipping Allah or worshipping Satan. And as a closing statement of the Prophet ﷺ, I'd like to just remind you all that the Prophet ﷺ had said, "Ud'u Allah wa antum muqinoon bil ijaba. Wa'alamu anna Allah la yastajib du'aan min qalbin ghafilin lah." That you should call on Allah in worship. We should call on Allah being certain that He will answer our prayers. It is the promise of Allah that He will answer the prayers of the believers. So we should call on Him with that certainty. But we should know at the same time that He will not answer the prayers of a heart which is neglectful, that is involved in folly. That is not just the action of calling, but it is the sincerity in the calling which will guarantee for us an answer. So if we maintain our tawheed in our worship, then we also guarantee for ourselves that Allah will answer all of our prayers and reward us with the ultimate reward of paradise in the next life.